Free Talk Live. It's your show. You can dial in toll-free. Bring up whatever you want at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features are completely free, so enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. You talk about whatever you want. In the meantime, we'll bring up things that are interesting to us. And Mark, right before the show, you told me about something that was very intriguing to me.
To you, I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
Well, it's from the Huffington Post, and I'm not going to read the title of it. I just want you to get the gist of the story before I jump out with the headline. Joaquin El Chapo Guzman Larrea, reported head of the Sinaloa cartel in Mexico, ranked 701st on Forbes' yearly report of the wealthiest men alive, and he's worth an estimated $1 billion. Today, he officially thanked the United States politicians for making sure that the drugs remain illegal. According to one of his closest confidants, he said, "I couldn't have gotten so stinking rich." I'm going to do my Tony Montoya.
Okay.
Even though he's Cuban, whatever. "I couldn't be so stinking rich without George Bush Sr., Ronald Reagan, even El Presidente Obama. None of them have the cojones to stand up to all the big money that wants to keep this stuff illegal. From the bottom of my heart, I want to say, gracias, amigos. I owe you my whole empire."
Awesome.
Holy crap.
Where was this printed?
The Huffington Post.
Okay. Wow.
According to sources in the Mexican government, President Calderon is begging American officials to, in the words of reggae's great Peter Tosh, legalize it. "Oh, yeah," said an official close to the Mexican president. "Felipe is going crazy. He's screaming at everybody who comes in. Why don't they make this crap legal already?
For real?
You're killing me here."
Wow.
That's the problem, man. I mean, even he knows it.
That's amazing.
Look, everyone knows when you have prohibitions, you create gangsters. And the more you prohibit,
this is the guy,
more gangsters.
This is still the guy talking,
no,
right?
No. No.
Oh, okay.
This is no.
Wait, I'm sorry.
That is not President Calderon.
No. Wait. The drug dealer guy.
No.
I thought this was a letter from the drug dealer being published in the Huffington Post. What did I miss?
It's not a letter. It's just a quote from one of his close friends.
I see.
The more you prohibit, the more gangsters you make. El Chapo is hero now to all those slum dogs who want to be millionaires. Kids in the street, when they play games, they want to be El Chapo, the baddest man in the whole damn town. Meanwhile, many speculate that rich and prominent Mexican families are in cahoots with American businessmen in the alcohol industry, wealthy industrialists who launder the unprecedented profits from the drug business with their legitimate enterprises, and lawmakers who get gigantic kickbacks and payoffs to make sure that these drugs remain illegal so that they can remain rich, fat, and happy. According to sources on both sides of the border, tens of millions of dollars in payoffs and kickbacks are stashed in Swiss banks every year. Blood money from the brutal business made possible by a corrupt system supported by laws that don't and have never worked. Rather than putting El Chapo and his kind out of business by modernizing outdated laws in the process, making billions of dollars from taxing drugs as done with cigarettes and alcohol,
they crank down even further.
The United States government has spent hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars chasing its tail and offered a $5 million reward for the capture of El Chapo. Many have said that the offer is officially dead or alive, unofficially dead or alive. Meanwhile, as an epidemic of murderous violence rages in the Mexican-U.S. border and the American government wastes boatloads of badly needed money in the illegal drug business with results from the prohibition laws, El Chapo is laughing all the way to the bank. "Whoever came up with this whole war on drugs," one of his lieutenants reports he had said, "I would like to kiss him on the lips and shake his hand and buy him dinner with caviar and champagne. The war on drugs is the greatest thing that ever happened to me, and the day they decided to end the war will be a sad one for me and all of my closest friends."
Yeah, well, as long as he saved his money, he'll be all right.
And if you don't believe me, ask those guys whose heads showed up in the ice chests.
Wow.
Yeah, this is a brutal, brutal man. But, you know, he's making it abundantly clear
for you, everybody. You have to be brutal to make it to the top in the drug business.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. He just, ordered these guys' heads, cut off, and I guess they showed up in ice chests. Look, people, this is it. This is these are the results here. There's the, you know, if there's was any doubt in your mind that perhaps, well, maybe we shouldn't make cocaine legal or heroin or whatever.
Yeah, you want to keep putting money into this man's pockets.
Isn't making his money off weed, dude.
Oh, he's probably running.
He's probably running some, but he's not making his money off of it. There's not the markup on weed that there is on, well, not for the dealers, at least.
I don't know. It's all different at the high levels.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about thousands on thousands of pounds. I mean, the whole thing plays differently up there. You're not talking about street-level stuff.
Yeah.
So, very interesting.
So, I don't know. Thought you might find that story a little interesting.
Well, yeah, 800-259-9231. So people like him are bringing it in at the upper levels, and then it filters all the way down to the daughter of Joe Biden. Did you hear about this one?
No.
There's an alleged video now by by a friend of hers that shows her snorting cocaine and then, you know, being a cokehead afterwards. So what do you think's going to happen to her?
Nothing.
Well, if you take a look at the history of daughters and sons of politicians and politically connected people, yeah, that's a pretty safe guess. It'll be a bit of hubbub in the media, and then they'll talk. Then inevitably the politicians will step in the way and say, look, we'd appreciate some privacy on what is essentially a family matter. this is really personal. Okay, we don't need to be talking about this in the media. We're handling this as a family. Thank you very much. That's how they handled at least the Jeb Bush situation down in Florida, where his daughter was a crack addict.
Yeah, they catch anybody else, they throw them in jail, though.
Oh, yeah. You or I or our kids or our friends, yeah, we'd all go into the pokey, but daughter of Joe Biden, she's probably going to get a pass, and it'll be swept under the rug. But who knows? We'll certainly keep an eye on things. It'll probably be one of the first times that a video like that would hit the internet of some famous person's or politician's offspring getting high. So that might kind of change the situation.
Why would anybody be so silly as to let someone take a video of them snorting a line of coke?
I don't know. Maybe she was. I don't know what it's like to do cocaine, Mark. I have no desire whatsoever to try it. But I do understand from some who have used it that the coke user's attitude is somewhat overconfident. Would you say?
I don't know.
Maybe
I mean,
she just got all coked up and didn't think it'd be a big deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Who knows? 800-259-9231. We continue your phone calls, Mark in Indiana. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Mark, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, not much. I was talking with my parents a few weeks back, and we're talking about our Constitution. I think I'll talk about patents and everything. Do you guys know a free market alternative to patents and copyright kind of information?
It's an interesting question. You know, I was watching the Dr. Mary Ruart speech. Mark, have you had a chance to look at this yet from the Liberty Forum? It's over at homelandstupidity.us, and she is she's involved in the pharmaceutical field, has been for a long time. It's her career. And she was talking about, and this was surprising to me, that she was talking about, like, back in the early part of her career, they didn't have patents. She said that they were busily rushing drugs to market so they could be first to market, and that's really what counted the most, was that they were first to market, not the fact that somebody could copy whatever it is that they came up with the very next day. Just the fact that they were first to market was enough to boost their name recognition as, hey, you know, we are the ones that innovated this, this is our product, and that's what they were competing for. So they didn't even have patents back then, and there was no market.
People were still getting drugs.
Right, there was no market replacement for patents. People were getting drugs. Drugs were coming out much faster than they are today, and they never even thought about such protections.
Hmm. Right. No, I think the current law says, which is just absurd, that people got to wait like 7 years. So, in other words, if you manufacture something and you just leave it around wherever, and someone else does a day later and they get the patent on it, or that they can't because they got to wait 7 years. So if they want to get it to the market as soon as possible, they can't. They got to wait. For you, essentially, that could be up to 7 years, which is just outrageous.
Yeah, and there's different numbers, from what I understand, for different things. But, yeah, it's just absolutely outrageous. It's restriction on competition, and that just means the marketplace isn't getting the supply of products that it otherwise could. Thank you for the call tonight. So I don't support any sort of alternatives, but if you want to try to put contracts on your products and prevent people from sharing information, good luck.
I have an idea for drugs.
All right, more coming up. You bring up anything. This is Free Talk Live.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with the very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized a contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code 600 to get a free trial and a free webcam, too. Remember that code, 600, to qualify for the free webcam. WebEx, now part of Cisco and used by more than 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try, free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code 600, WEBEX.com. Free webcams available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Do you have trouble sleeping due to sensations in your legs? You are not alone. Millions of Americans suffer from restless legs. Restless legs is a condition caused by the uncontrollable urge to move your legs. Signs include itching, pulling, tugging, and the feeling that bugs are crawling on your legs. If having restless legs is preventing you from getting the good night's sleep you deserve or is preventing you from enjoying life, you need Restulex. Restulex is an all-natural supplement that contains 74 essential vitamins, minerals, and herbs that you may not be getting in your diet. Restulex will help ease and comfort your restless legs within 24 hours and will allow you to go back to your regular routine without discomfort or embarrassment.
Call 888-4-FIT-LEGS. That's 888-434-8534. Or visit 4FITLEGS.com. That's the number 4FITLEGS.com. And ask how you can get Restulex for free today.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
Life Change Tea sets the standard. Have you heard on radio all the new teas with funny names, movie stars, celebrities endorsing these products and so on? Have you checked the results? Not the pictures of the bikini babes and such, but the results. Have you checked their pricing and the funky 3-month contracts and all that stuff? Have you checked the results? Oh, that's right, I said that. Did you check the ingredients and did you check for caffeine? Yeah. Life Change Tea is the real deal, not a new yippee-yay tea, but a tea if you drink it daily, it'll change your life, and it will clean your body. Our middle name is Results. You can pay more, and you can have a celebrity smile, or you can get results. Your call. Or should I say, make the call. Get the tea at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Order now for real results.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can dial in toll-free and bring up anything. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. 1-800-259-9231. Join us on our website at freetalklive.com. We've got a wiki with over 1,800 pages created by listeners just like you. Head over to wiki.freetalklive.com and get interactive. You can edit virtually anything you see. W-I-K-I, wiki.freetalklive.com. All right. Well, the bureaucrats are undermining your right to bear arms. They're also taxing bottled water. That's right, water. Log on to enjoybottledwater.org and tell them enough is enough. Sign the petition fighting taxes and regulations on bottled water. After all, if they can tax water, what will they do next? enjoybottledwater.org. As we continue, Mark, you wanted to comment on the drug patent situation. The question from Mark earlier, Mark the caller, was, well, what would you propose in the absence of government patents? What kind of market solution would you propose? Well, I said nothing. We used to not have anything in place of patents, and everything worked great.
On drugs. They've had patents all along on different things, and there's a lot of problems.
No, they haven't. The Office of Patents has only existed for so long.
I thought it was in the Constitution, he said.
I don't know. I don't think that anybody really cared about it back then, but maybe it was.
Okay. Certainly it's a very lucrative business, just patenting a bunch of things. And all I wanted to comment on was drugs specifically. Mary Ruart said that at one point in her career, and, she's a lady who's had a full career in the drug industry, that they didn't patent their drugs, that they just rushed them to market, and that's how they made their money, was to being first to market with particular drug. And I would assume they established brand recognition in that manner. However, one of the big sticking points for me on patents has been basically movies and drugs. I feel the drugs are so important that we needed to have patents. But
Dr. Mary Ruart disagrees with you.
Yeah, apparently she does. And however, what I was thinking was in a, if your drug company really wanted to protect some drug that it had, it didn't want anybody to get a hold of it and reverse engineer it, because that's the big concern, right? That if they have a particular thing that they want done, they could have a clinic. They could open up a clinic in, a bunch of different towns and administer their drug in that manner. You'd have to come there to get it. You have to go to a particular place in order to get chiropractic work. You have to go to a particular place often to see different types of doctors. As a matter of fact, if you're in a drug testing situation, you have to go there in order to get, experimental drug is being tested on you. So it's not unusual for this, not particularly unusual for this to happen.
So you're saying the pharmaceutical company would open up a clinic? Is
yes.
that what you're saying?
Or they could administer it through doctor's offices, which is more likely.
So could I, as a generic manufacturer, also open up a clinic?
I don't see why you couldn't.
You can rent. So you're talking about in a world without patents?
In a world without patents, if you wanted to protect your intellectual property, which is the drug, to prevent the generic guys like you from reverse engineering their the drug, then you have a clinic and you administer the drug in that manner. That way you have a line
Nobody
of possession.
Nobody can go home with it is what you're
right.
saying.
Right, you have a line of possession with the
drug.
You
could still have a leak inside your company. You could still be like, business espionage.
Understood. You could have that. You could have that anyway. They're already doing this. They're stealing the drugs and they're putting, they're taking them to other countries and things like that. And they're reverse engineering them in that manner. And it's just the United States, the most lucrative drug market in the world.
Well, I'd like to expound on what Dr. Ruart had said during her speech, which again is available at homelandstupidity.us. You can see the video of it. What she was pointing out is that the reason why patents are useful today in the pharmaceutical industry is simply because of the FDA. Because the FDA has this incredibly expensive, lengthy process that these companies have to go through in order to bring a product to the marketplace. So they spend, $500 million or something insane like that in 17 or 19 years with this insanely bureaucratic process that's put in front of them. And so basically the idea is they don't want to go through that process and then the next day have somebody essentially take their ideas. So if it weren't for the FDA's process,
if it wasn't for the money that they spent on the FDA's process, that the amount of money that they need to make in order to research and all
so
that
they
stuff
need that,
wouldn't exist.
They need that monopoly after that point in order to try to recoup their money, which is such a tremendous amount. She said that 80%, at least 80% of the cost of drugs on the marketplace today, prescription drugs, are the regulatory costs. The FDA's costs.
Wow.
80%. We've all heard people talking about the amount of money that they spend every single month on pills. People that need these pills spend a tremendous amount of money. The insurance companies are spending outrageous amounts of money on these things, and it's all because of the regulation. It's really just nuts. What she has to deal with in her position with dealing with the FDA, it's just amazing. So absent the FDA, patents could just be wiped off the table and we could get back to a real innovative, competitive marketplace in medicine that this country just hasn't had for a long time. And that would make a lot of people feel better. Let's go to your phone calls. Frank is in New York. Frank, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, just a couple of things. What the Huffington Post said is very true. Basically, 95% of the people are wrong at any given time, and about 95% of the population will be law-abiding. So you declare something that people want, that gives them enjoyment, or that, you know, is something that will enhance their experience. You declare it illegal, and then you will find 2-3% of the people that will be willing to break the law, and they will profit handsomely, because instead of, selling this at a price that would be affordable, and that the amount of profits you can make illegally are so much greater. So the little bit of heroin that may have been sold in Vietnam at the American military base in Da Nang for 50 cents, a little envelope that the GIs could, inject in their barracks, that becomes $50 or $150, in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately, the profit is incredibly great. And the sad thing is, when you have a black market or something that's illegal, there are many innocent people that pay the price for that, such as the little old man or the student or the little old woman that's going to the bus stop and the junkie mugs her and takes her
Absolutely.
Purse, and maybe she's injured and she has to spend the rest of her life in the hospital, or maybe she's in jail, or the little person on the retirement fund living in the slum that, the apartment gets broken into because the junkies want to take the pension check or the Social Security
check.
They'll
take whatever they get their hands on so they can run out of the pawn
shop. So in a way, this is how the system works. And I view it as the same way with religion. I mean, a lot of religion, it's something that can never be proven. It's a regime of social control, and it's an incredible way to make money tax-free.
And
you begin to look at these
systems,
and you see the smoke and mirrors. But regarding the patents. The patent office goes back to the very beginning of the United States when the Constitution was made. And you'll notice that one of the greatest inventions of the early period in the United States was Thomas Jefferson's steel disc plow that revolutionized agriculture in the United States until, mechanization occurred. I mean, there are many interesting things. And Benjamin Franklin petitioned the government to create the patent office and was one of the first examiners of the patent.
It was a poor idea. Thank you for the call, Frank. 800-259-9231 has been something that has actually ended up preventing inventors from actually coming to market with ideas and empowered lawyers to do awful things to people that don't know what the system is all about. More coming up. You bring up anything. Free Talk Live.
This year, millions of people will lose electricity. Ice storms, earthquakes, flooding, or hurricanes could leave you without power for days. Anyone that's ever been in a blackout knows that the first thing you need is a flashlight. That's why you need the Packlight. The Packlight is powered by a 9-volt battery and lasts up to 1,200 hours. It's so small, it fits right in your pocket and glows in the dark, making it easy to find when you need it most. One Florida customer says,
"My Packlight has lasted through 4 hurricanes in 2 years, over 30 days without electricity, and I'm still using the same battery."
The Packlight comes with a 25-year warranty, and prices start at just $12.99. It's time for you to be prepared with a Packlight. Visit us at 9voltlight.com. That's 9voltlight.com. Or call us today, toll-free, at 877-715-4448. That's 877-715-4448. 4448.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and
I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Spring is here, growing season. The economy is not getting any better. In fact, it's getting worse. Think about it. At this rate, how will your life be in a month or even a year? Maybe you've been putting things off, but the time to act is now. The country is running out of food. You need to get your seeds before it's too late. At OrganicaSeed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds, survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and your family for years. Grow your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco. With detailed growing guides available to you at no charge, you can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to OrganicaSeed.com. That's OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com today.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Live 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. You can bring up whatever you want. 800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
Join us online at freetalklive.com. Features on the site. We give away. Those other talk show hosts, they want to charge you for accessing their websites, and ours is free. You can actually enjoy the updates for free. Updates.freetalklive.com. We'll keep you in the loop whenever there's something you need to know about Free Talk Live. Just go to updates.freetalklive.com and get on the list for free.
The world's largest machine gun shoot and military gun show is April 3rd, 4th, and 5th at Knob Creek Gun Range. It's it's fun for the whole family with machine guns and flamethrowers for rent, helicopter rides, and 800 tables showcasing handguns, rifles, shotguns, and more. It opens at 9 a.m. It's $10 per person. KnobCreekRange.com. That's KnobCreekRange.com.
1-800-259-9231 started out with a quote, an alleged quote at least, from a drug dealer, one of the kingpins, talking about how grateful he is for the war on drugs, because if it weren't for the war on drugs, he wouldn't be where he is today. And, of course, when you talk about changing that situation, you can bring this point up to the politicians, and they seem to understand it, but they won't do anything about it. For instance, within the last couple of years here in New Hampshire, there have been a couple of decrim, marijuana decrim pieces of legislation that have gone to the New Hampshire State House, and they went through – here in New Hampshire, they go to the committees first, which is a small amount of House members that take a look at each bill and make recommendations on it. And so I've been to a couple of these committee hearings, and I came in kind of as a joke, kind of as a bit of satire, if you will, to put an unusual perspective in front of these people, because they always vote these things down, these decrim bills. They just vote them down. So I went in there as a representative of New Hampshire organized crime, so, or something like that. I just made it up. So obviously there's no lobbying group called New Hampshire Organized Crime, so this is a first, right? No one has ever come in and said, I'm the spokesman for New Hampshire Organized Criminals, and I just wanted to encourage you guys to vote this down. Vote this decrim down because we really need our profits to be protected. I mean, I've actually made up this whole speech about... I made up a speech that was about how it is that the New Hampshire prohibition against drugs puts money in the pockets of criminals. And that was essentially the point that I made to these people. They seemed to get it. They laughed. They thought it was funny. They thought it was poignantly funny. At least some of them did. And the questions that they asked afterwards seemed to make the connection that, yeah, okay, we get what you're saying. It seems to make sense. And they still voted it down anyways. It's like they are doing what the criminals want them to do. I mean, the criminals basically told them, through me, hey, you're helping us out.
I think
that, and they went for it.
Well, I think that the politicians in New Hampshire, the representatives who voted this down, they aren't getting payoffs. It doesn't seem very likely that the payoffs are coming from drug lords for the 400 representatives in New Hampshire.
I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying it was put in front of them and they...
Well,
still
I do think
voting.
That there are absolutely politicians out there getting payoffs from, drug lords, whether it's directly or indirectly through one of their, whether the drug lords fund some of the companies that want to see drugs remain illegal.
Sure.
And then those companies push it on the politicians, whatever. I don't know how it's done, but it's done. It's just not being done, in New Hampshire. So in New Hampshire, likely, what you're seeing here is just, people going along to get along. There's no reason for them to stand up against... the drug war. They aren't losing anything as a result. Well, drugs have been illegal my whole life, so we shouldn't make them legal. I know there must be some good reason for that.
Well,
the status quo. That's the only reason.
Well, they're just lucky then that they haven't had a friend or a family member get arrested for something silly like marijuana possession, because then all of a sudden it would be a personal issue for them. But there's something else interesting going on here in New Hampshire in the realm of marijuana decriminalization, and that is the medical marijuana proposal has actually gone through the New Hampshire House, and that's good news. It's going to make perhaps New Hampshire the 14th state across the country to have a medical marijuana, some sort of access for patients, people that need help, people that need to feel better and that have found that marijuana actually helps them. It's moving in the right direction. And hopefully this story from NHInsider.com and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention will help them continue to move this through. Hopefully this will get through the Senate and pass the governor, because according to the Youth Risk Behavioral Survey, which is conducted by states in conjunction with the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, both states have experienced decreases in teen use since medical marijuana laws were enacted. And I talk about Vermont and Maine specifically. So in both of those states, in 1997, 30.4% of Maine high school students reported using marijuana within the past 30 days. Maine passed its medical marijuana law back in 1999. In 2007, that very same statistic had been reduced to 22%. That's a 28% decrease in teen marijuana use since 1997. These statistics from the Maine YRBS are available online. Vermont also has useful data. In 2003, 28% of high school students reported using marijuana in the last 30 days. Vermont enacted its medical marijuana law in 2004, and in 2007, that statistic had fallen to 24.1%. So medical marijuana laws are leading to lower teen marijuana use. Now, you'd think there's a disconnect there.
Yeah, you would.
It's medical pot, so what is that? How does that even affect teenagers?
It may be the forbidden. I'm just speculating. It may be the forbidden fruit aspect of it that kids are like, well, people that are sick, this is just medicine.
Yeah, now it's a medicine, not a drug, right?
Right, medicine instead of an illegal drug.
And this is similar. I mean, in case somebody just looks at this and says, well, I mean, that could be the statistical margin of error, and it doesn't really mean anything.
It's not a statistical margin of error, what you're talking about there. I mean, those numbers are not a statistical margin of error. You don't get double-digit statistical margins of error. I'm sorry. That just doesn't make any sense.
Well, I don't know if it was doubled. In the case of Vermont, you could argue it. I mean, it went from 28.2% to 24.1%. And so they could say that. But it falls into line with what has been seen in other countries like Amsterdam, that have had significant decriminalization of marijuana, not just the medical side, but real decrim. And it falls into line there because that they've had a significant reduction in teenage marijuana use as well over time. And it's, and I believe, I think you're right, Mark. I think it has to do with the forbidden fruit aspect. It's just not sexy and cool to use a drug that's not illegal.
Well, not illegal and is legal for sick people. I mean, now it's for sick people. You know, like that. I don't know. I'm just saying that that could be an aspect to it. You're only talking. You're talking about a small percentage change there. So it would just have to. It's only speculation. It changes the brand. It changes marijuana's brand from is being essentially a drug, an illegal drug for, you know, people that are counterculture, to being something that's for sick people. Certainly it still has all the effects that it did before.
So something else is going on. We mentioned this weekend that Portugal has decriminalized drugs, and we had no idea. Right. We just got wind of this from Glenn Greenwald's blog, and he's pointing out that the statistics are going to come out soon from the Cato Institute, and they're going to show that decriminalization works. But I did get something from Richard in the email box, and he says, a caller mentioned that drugs have been completely decriminalized, and I'd like to point out that drugs have not been completely decriminalized. In Portugal, they have been legalized, which means there are still laws about them, and some things about them are still crimes. In Portugal, the government has legalized possession, use, and acquisition. Those things are legal, but manufacture, importing, or selling are still illegal. And that means that the supply of drugs...
So buying is legal, but selling is illegal.
Right.
Interesting.
That means the supply of drugs will be controlled by criminals and gangsters instead of being able to go into a local store and buy drugs. Now, I have no reason to disbelieve what he's saying, because that makes sense. That's what a lot of the decrim proposals are, basically, right? The first step decrim proposals are usually, hey, leave the users alone. And then they keep going after the dealers, which is not an optimal situation. But you can still make observations about what happens when you decriminalize drugs on the user level. It does change the way the market interacts and the way the black market behaves.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see those details when they come out about Portugal. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. The Heroic Kentucky Fried Chicken. Oh, wait, they don't call themselves that anymore. We'll talk about it coming up. Free Talk Live.
Are you tired of feeling like you can't keep up with, let alone fight, the never-ending increases in government power? How do we, in one step, eliminate all these abuses and prevent them from returning again? The answer is simple. We must control the money. If it weren't for the Federal Reserve System and the so-called income tax, our government could have never become what it is today. Elite financier Rothschild arrogantly admitted, "Permit me to issue and control the money of a nation, and I care not who makes its laws." That statement says it all. If others control the money, we cannot limit government growth or power. Under our current monetary system, we are slaves to the financial elite. Take the time to learn how this corrupt system works. Purchase a copy of Dishonest Money today. Learn the system, fight it, and abolish the one scam that funds all the rest. Dishonest Money. Available at Amazon or DishonestMoney.com.
This year, many of us will have to make the tough decision on what to cut back on and what's essential as we prepare for an uncertain future. In these troubled times, one of the most important things your family can have is good health. Some of the contributors to poor health are parasites, viruses, toxins, and heavy metals. It's a documented fact. 80% of all Americans and 85% of people around the world suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection. Now you can fight internal parasites, heavy metals, and high cholesterol naturally and safely by mixing fossilized phytoplankton powder, also known as FPP, with your favorite beverage once a day. FPP is now available to you from freshwaterorganics.com. A 2-month supply starts at just $17. FPP is so affordable you can't afford to do without. Visit freshwaterorganics.com or call them toll free at 888-949-3570. That's 888-949-3570.
Companies continue to lay off thousands of people. Unemployment is the highest it's been in over 30 years. Statistics prove that in a recession, crime rates go up. Everyone needs something for that extra edge to prevent becoming a victim in these difficult and trying times. You need to prepare yourself with DPS pepper spray, available at MrDefense.com. DPS is the strongest pepper spray in the market and is the same spray used by hundreds of law enforcement agencies from around the world. Need something more? The Scorpion stun gun is a great way to take down a potential attacker. Mr. Defense also carries the largest selection of air tasers, knives, self-defense keychains, swords, batons, survival, spy, and tactical gear. Mention this ad and receive 10% off of your order and a free self-defense keychain. Visit MrDefense.com. That's MrDefense.com or call 1-800-313-6400. That's 1-800-313-6400 for all of your self-defense needs today.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
Live, it's your show. You can dial toll-free 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. And it's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us online. FreeTalkLive.com is the place to go. All the features are totally free. So if you like the show and you want to help support Free Talk Live, you can do that by shopping with us. You can go to Amazon.FreeTalkLive.com, enter through that link, and Free Talk Live will get a percentage of your purchase. So whatever it is you need to buy in life, they probably sell it at Amazon.FreeTalkLive.com. And if you need to save a few extra bucks, they might even sell it used. And any way you buy, as long as you enter through Amazon.FreeTalkLive.com, we will get a percentage of the sale. Let's go to your phone calls about whatever you want. John is in New Hampshire. John, you're on Free Talk Live.
CAI toll free line.
Hello, you got to turn down whatever it is you
want. Hey, you talking to John?
Yes, John.
Sorry about that.
You're on the air.
Yeah, I was calling about the drug war. There's a lot of people that think that if the government would just legalize and tax drugs, that the government would actually benefit from this. And I'd say this is not so, because if it was so, they'd have done it a long time ago, wouldn't they?
Well, maybe they wouldn't benefit as much, because the thought process here being that the politicians themselves don't benefit from the taxes as much as they benefit from campaign contributions.
Mm-hmm.
And so the companies that want to see, you know, that give the campaign contributions and the individuals, whether they're drug lords or, you know, the alcohol companies or,
yeah,
you know, the plastic companies and or the timber companies, you know, those companies, they give the money directly to the politicians for their running for the next campaign, whereas the taxes certainly would benefit the size of the government. I don't think that they, you know, that it benefits the politicians in the same manner.
That's a good point. And their first interest is their self-interest.
Yes. So.
Well, this is why they haven't done it, because their self-interest is to keep a lot of stuff off the books.
Mm-hmm.
So you have these type of things where big pharmacy, maybe, you know, the big blue light gang, the big courts, the big military, the military-industrial complex, they're all wanting to do this kind of stuff. They fund covert wars off of drug profits, and also with the war constantly going on, it revolves, because as we see in the United States, depending on where there's covert wars happening, the drug that's produced in those areas that the covert war is happening, you'll see an increase in importation to this country of drugs from
Makes
that
sense.
Area.
Yeah.
There's an example that goes back. It's my favorite because it was actually in congressional testimony back in the Reagan days, and Clinton, by the way, was just so it's not partisan, you get a Republican and a Democrat here. Clinton was the governor in Arkansas at the time. And at the time, there was the covert wars in South and Central America. And, of course, there's still some going on today. But the major import point in the United States was known to be Arkansas. And
really?
You had this guy Clinton that was governor out there, and he even admitted that his brother had a nose like a vacuum cleaner or something like that. Not that that has something to do with the war. Anybody can have a drug problem.
Yeah, weren't there allegations about the Clintons being involved in importing cocaine in a MENA, Arkansas airport or something like that?
There's been that kind of stuff, and I'm no expert on it. And
yeah.
I'm not, as you know, I'm not a big conspiracy buff, but this is one I think that is not deniable. The congressional testimony, which I think just shines a light on it, and if it happens a little bit, you know it's happening all the time. I think this is just kind of a picture of the way it works.
Okay.
You had a guy that worked by the name of Hassenfuss, who worked for the CIA. He had got shot down in Central America after having delivered guns to, I believe it was Nicaragua, on his mission for the CIA. And on his return trip to the United States, he was shot down. And in his plane, guess what, folks? The plane wasn't empty. How did they pay for these guns? They're paying for it with drug money. So
okay.
You've got cash that's off the books. If it was legalized and taxed, this whole network dries up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always switching sides, as you know. These are real bad guys. They're criminals from you know, like this L, whatever his name is, that talks about, you know, killing people and his gang-related stuff, to the gangsters in Congress who are very interested in the gangsters in the CIA and the DEA
right.
and the FBI, who I think actually manage this kind of stuff. If you'll recall, like this guy that's on the top 10 list of the FBI's most wanted out of South Boston in Massachusetts, he was known as the Irish mobster. His brother was the president of the Senate down there. But anyway, the story, and this is all true, there's a guy named Conley, an FBI guy that's in prison because he was allowing these guys to commit murder and rape and stuff, that he was in the know on all this stuff. But it's like this controlled mobster thing. Like they're all mobsters, and they're turning, you know, they're looking the other way, depending
yeah.
on how it works. And they change sides, as we know, because, you know, with the government, you've got one nation. We could just say, use Iraq as an example. You know, they're on our side one time, and the next, you know, several years later, we're bombing
but,
them.
But either way, they're always against those of us who want freedom. I mean, for those of us that want to be free, it's like we're up against two gangs. We're up against the government gang and then the other gangs, sort of the drug gangs.
Yeah, there's
a challenge.
There has got to be a reason why, because like I said, people think that if it was legalized and taxed, that we'd all be better off. And you got to realize the ones that would do that would be the guys in government. They haven't done so. There's got to be a reason.
Well, you know, it's encouraging, though, and you're right, John, and I thank you for the observations tonight and the call. It's encouraging, though, that a place like Portugal would have the ability to go ahead and move forward with drug decriminalization, as Amsterdam has done in the past, or the Netherlands has done in the past. It sounds like Portugal has really taken it the next step instead of just doing mushrooms, which are now remade illegal in the Netherlands. Have.
Interesting.
You didn't hear about that? Yeah.
Nah.
And so it's pretty much just marijuana in the Netherlands.
And the fact that failures and successes on the political front don't mean that that it wasn't working. It's
yeah.
just, you know, whatever politicians, the forces that want to see drugs illegal, whatever kind of drugs they are, they don't give up.
They don't give up. I mean, even in Alaska, where I believe, I'm not sure what their current status is, but I know that there's constantly a struggle going on there where they've had some success at allowing people to keep marijuana for personal use at home, a decent amount of marijuana for personal use, and the prohibitionists just keep pushing back. It's a never-ending fight.
We had a prohibitionist for alcohol on this show, but he wanted to see alcohol
yeah.
prohibited. So, I mean, they're still out there trying to prohibit alcohol.
So it's no easy task that we have ahead of us. And I don't really personally believe that the political process is going to be how the way is led to a world where drugs are decriminalized. I think that inevitably it will follow what will happen in the real world. And I think that I don't know what's going to have to happen in the real world besides mass civil disobedience to change this. I think that would change it real quick in the political arena. But I don't think that it's going to happen anytime soon if people just go in there and beg these Congress people to make changes. It doesn't seem to be a very effective manner of making things happen. I think if you had the amount of people that would go, that would spend the time and effort to beg the Congress people, whether we're talking about U.S. or New Hampshire or wherever it is you live, that same amount of people, if they were to engage in civil disobedience, would destroy this. I mean, the system wouldn't be able to handle that. So they would have to look at that and say, oh, my gosh, something seriously is changing here. Maybe we need to catch these laws up eventually to deal with it, because we certainly can't have people being arrested for marijuana if they're not going to pay the fines anymore. I mean, even if we're not talking about, I'm not just talking about a bunch of people all together at once doing civil disobedience, so I think that's very powerful and I think it should happen. Each individual, as they get caught with marijuana under a system where it's illegal, if they refuse to pay whatever fines are demanded, if they refuse to go along with the demands of the state, then that also will crash the system. And eventually they'll have to change it. So I think that's probably the best way to see political change, is to just go through the process and the path of disobedience. Would love your thoughts on it. 800-259-9231. What do you think, Mark? Should we just go and beg?
Well, I'm not against begging if it's successful. I'm also not against some level of, you know, non-compliance more than anything. I think some of the civil disobedience stuff is tacky, whereas I think that not paying your fine and then, costing them more by either going to jail or, you know, whatever.
Some people would call that tacky, though. Like, you're not obeying the system. The laws are there
for
a reason.
No, that's what the system is. You know, the system is either I pay or I go to jail. I'll take the jail option. Thanks.
That's true. You're right. That is the system. I mean, it is an option that you have. And if more people took that option, they'd run out of jail space right quick.
It's what I intend to do on seatbelts if they make them illegal here.
Man, where's that at right now?
It's still just through the House. It has not yet made it to the Senate.
800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. You can bring up whatever you want. Did you hear about what's going on with General Motors today? Looks like it's an almost complete government takeover coming soon. We'll fill you in, plus take your calls about whatever you want. Hour 2 is coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
Gun Day, Gun Day, Gun Day. 3 days to exercise your Second Amendment rights for only $10 per person April 3rd, 4th, and 5th at Knob Creek Gun Range. The world's largest machine gun shooting military gun show is fun for the whole family, with machine guns and flamethrowers for rent, helicopter rides, and over 800 tables showcasing handguns, shotguns, rifles, and more. Opens at 9 a.m. Call 502-922-4457 or visit knobcreekrange.com. That's K-N-O-B, creekrange.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.